time now to bring to you Dr. Renee Boyce. She is the presenter of the Better Health Radio Show. And every Sunday we do it. And this Sunday is no different. And she has a guest with her as per usual. So let's go and say a very special evening to Dr. Renee Boyce. Good evening.
Hi, good evening, Redston. How are you?
I am not too bad at all. Thank you kindly.
I thought you were going to say I'm fine and changed your mind.
Let's go with what I said. Not too bad.
Okay. Good evening to everybody and welcome to the Better Health Radio Show, where we help you to live your best life. If you want to give us a call in the studio, 434-1790. And if you want to send your queries in by WhatsApp, 266-4862. So those numbers once again, 434-1790, 266-4862. And before we launch into our show this evening, we have a few people that we need to say hello to. First, we are going to go over to the hospital there, to the physiotherapy department, and say hello to all of the physiotherapists there. I had reason to be in that department on Friday, I believe. Yes, Friday. And it was good to see several of the persons that I knew from before. So I'm not going to call any names. I'm just going to say hello to all the physiotherapists there at the physiotherapy department at the QEH, and by extension, the physiotherapists who are on the island, so that I don't get blamed
for leaving
for
somebody else. All right.
Exactly. And we're also going to say hello to those in the orthotics department, which is very close to the physiotherapy department at the hospital. Again, no names being called. But one person whose name I am going to call is Miss Christine Smithwick. She's one of those persons who I've been reliably informed listens to the show every week. She doesn't miss a show. And so we're sending a special hello to you, Christine. Thank you for tuning in and continue to enjoy the show.
So we mentioned her. We mentioned her because she listens to everything. Fair enough, not continue.
Yes. But we mentioned special people. Not that everybody that was mentioned was it special.
We get it.
In trouble.
Yeah, go ahead.
But for those persons who, you know, listening to the show and really do look forward to it, it really
they deserve special mention.
A little easier. Yes. Yes, they do.
Got it.
So this evening I have with me a friend of mine and another medical professional. I have Mr. Brian Payne. Good evening, Brian.
He's muted. Yep, there we go.
Good evening.
Yes.
as always, it's a pleasure to be here.
Yes, this is one of those phrases that's going to go down in time. I'm sure people are going to do lots of memes and stuff on it. You're muted. This is the world in which this is the world in which we live now. So Mr. Payne, he is the acting chief nutrition officer, and we are going to learn about what that role entails. We're going to learn what is going on at the National Nutrition Center and the plans that they have for this month, because I do believe that this is Nutrition Month. And so let's start, Brian, with what got you into nutrition and all that is encapsulated by the word nutrition?
A very, 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 very big question. I think I've always been interested in nutrition. I think, but a big part of it really comes from family history, really. I think, like most Barbadians, lots of persons in my family have challenges with NCDs, whether it be diabetes, cardiovascular issues, and of course, being in Barbados, I think overweight and obesity is also a big challenge. So I think, growing up, I mean, I've always seen and heard about these challenges that family members may have, and it's just something I don't know once I fell into, but it's something I always had an interest in.
Okay, so you kind of found yourself in a preventative career. You didn't want that to happen to you, and so you did.
Indeed.
Yes. So what do you do? What does the chief?
What do we do? I've been with the good Ministry of Health and Wellness for roughly 15 odd years, believe it or not. And during my time with the Good Ministry, I worked at several polyclinics. Initially, I was a community nutrition officer. I've worked at Randall Phillips. I've worked at the Edgar Cochrane Polyclinic. I was last based at, this is where we met. I was last based at the Winston Scott Polyclinic. That was my last polyclinic appointment. It was quite a while. That was quite a while ago, it feels almost. So as a community nutrition officer, and then there are officers attached to the various polyclinics. So as a community nutrition officer, we tend to counsel patients, or we see patients for our appointments. And persons are primarily seen who are trying to manage or living with non-communicable diseases. And again, being in Barbados, like most countries in the world, diabetes and cardiovascular issues tend to be some of the main ailments that we would see in the polyclinic system: diabetes, cardiovascular disease, obesity, hypertension as well too. So I would tend to see persons there, and like most Barbadians, the main challenges would be deficits in diet and also physical activity. So these tend to be the key issues that we would try to address in the polyclinic setting.
Yeah, we're going to come to the term diet a little later on, but we want to let our listeners know all about what is going on with Nutrition Month. Why you decide to have a whole month of activities, and how are your activities going to be impacted by the current COVID-19 pandemic? So first question is, what's the theme? What's the theme for this month?
The theme for the month is personalize your plate. And it really speaks to, because the whole idea of healthy eating is not one where sometimes people assume that you're eating only a plant-based diet. I think we want people to understand that healthy eating is more so balanced eating. And the term balanced diet is one which I think many people still don't understand. And all the term balance really means, it means eating a wide variety of foods. And I think the key thing here is that we discourage persons from eating excessively. I think excess is where the problem comes in, whether it be excess sugar, excess sodium, excess carbs or excess staples, excess food from animals, excess fats, whether it be good fats or bad fats. So I think the whole idea of the theme being personalize your plate, we want to let people know that a good diet or an optimal diet is one which can be represented in several different ways, not necessarily a purely plant-based diet or purely animal-based diet, but again, there are several iterations of a healthy diet.
Iterations, and that would be variations and different types of things that you can do.
Yes.
So what are the activities that are going to be going on for Nutrition Month?
As it relates to the month, I guess because as we know, we're in the grips of this pandemic, so most of our activities are virtual. And so some of my colleagues and myself, we'll be doing radio and possibly television programs like this one. And so that's how we're going to get the message out there. We're going to send, or we've been setting up a variety of material over social media as well too. So it's basically, so our work during the month is basically virtual. In years gone by, I think we'd be out there more, whether it be at schools or whether it be in businesses or other facilities. But based on the present circumstances, our work is primarily virtual. So there's a series of interviews or radio programs and materials which we're going to produce and disseminate to the general public.
One of the things that I had found very useful whilst working in the polyclinic was that there are several booklets that are produced by the Ministry of Health and Wellness, the Nutrition Department, and they speak to a wide area of the different concerns for health. I think that you guys are going to be relaunching one of those booklets.
Yeah, we produce several booklets or pamphlets, however you want to call them. They range from weight loss, they range from acid reflux. We produce meal ideas and things like breakfast and lunch, acid reflux. So we produce a series of materials which we generally share electronically more so these days than print. Most recently, we have done a document called the Healthy Eating Guide for Barbados, which is basically a series of rules or a series of guides for the typical or the average Barbadian. And they're very simple rules and guides. As long as you adhere to these rules, the idea is that you would live a healthy lifestyle. So it's Healthy Eating Guide for Barbados. That's the name of the document.
Sure. I would like for you, Brian, to go ahead and share those guidelines with us. And I like that you changed it from rules to guidelines, because persons tend to have this thought in mind that once you've seen the nutritionist or once your doctor or nurse has said to you that you need to change your lifestyle, that it's this strict and rigid and unlivable type of lifestyle. So share these guidelines with us.
I think, again, the word rule or tends to be one which people tend to have issue with. But as I said, there are six short guidelines, and there are things that the average person or person should be familiar with. Again, the first one would be, and they speak to the whole idea of variety or enjoying a variety of things. So the first one would be enjoying a variety of vegetables every day. Enjoy a variety of fruits every day. And the first two of the six guidelines, enjoy a variety of fruits, enjoy a variety of vegetables every day, it really speaks to the poor consumption of fruits and vegetables within the Barbadian population. I know some persons may say, well, I eat fruits every day, I eat vegetables every day. That may be true for the said person, but the average Barbadian only consumes roughly 1.5 servings of fruits and vegetables a day. When I worked in the polyclinic, when I worked in the polyclinic and I would see persons, and I'm sure it's something that you can test with Dr. Boyce, I still see Barbadians who say they only eat vegetables on Sundays. And possibly Monday.
I knew you were going to say that.
Correct. So I used to be surprised every time I heard it. So the first two guides really speaks to the lack of fruit and vegetable consumption of the typical Barbadian. So the idea is that you want a person to consume more fruits and vegetables. And again, there's a whole series of health benefits you get when you consume adequate amounts of fruits and vegetables. And under ideal circumstances, a person should consume 5 servings of combined fruits and vegetables a day. And the emphasis is always on the vegetables. You consume at least 3 servings of vegetables and at least 2 servings of fruit. So the third guide speaks to eating a variety of staples every day. And the key thing here, staples being high carbohydrate foods, potatoes, sweet potatoes, edibles, yams, cassava, rice, you know, foods like that, green bananas, breadfruit, you know, pumpkin. So these things can all go in there. And it speaks to variety. Again, the typical Barbadian diet is one where people consume large portion sizes of staples or high carbohydrate foods. But these carbs that persons will consume, they will tend to be on the highly refined side, whether it be white parboiled rice, whether it be white wheat flour based things like pastas. And there's also a lack of consumption of things like sweet potatoes, the traditional brown provision based foods, breadfruit, etc. So the third guide speaks to that. And the fourth one, which is one that is very important, would be choose to eat less fat and less fatty foods every day. Again, the typical Barbadian diet is today's Sunday, and I suspect most persons, they would have their normal side of things like macaroni pie, whether it be fried meats or some kind of fried fish. So the diet really speaks to consuming less fats and less fatty foods. The fifth speaks to eating a variety of foods from animals, and foods from animals basically mean things like meats, fish, and other protein sources. And again, I often use the term high quality protein. Now that term basically means eating animal-based foods or eating things like meats and fish, which is generally lower in fat. If you're gonna prepare things like chicken or meat, you wanna remove or trim the visible fat. So those things are critical in terms of reducing the fat content of the meat. And the last guide really speaks to eating a variety of legumes every day. And the term legume, it basically means things like peas, beans, and nuts. I think it was yesterday, it was on Friday, in my office. There's normally a guy who comes around and he normally sells baked or raw peanuts. And he sells them in very large bags. So So the typical person is going to buy this large bag. But the problem now is that they will consume the entire bag in very short order. Again, things like nuts and legumes, especially nuts for sure, would contain lots of vitamins, minerals, lots of good fats. But the challenge is that when you consume excess of these so-called good things, again, the body can only assimilate so much. And by using large amounts of these things, it may result in a potential health issue.
So this is one of the things that we want to speak to. When we think about health promotion, one of the facets in health promotion is trying to make choices for individuals easier in terms of going towards the healthier option. So you spoke about the size of the gentleman's bag of nuts. And yes, you know, we are a society, we like our value for money. So we want to know that once we've spent our money, we're getting something tangible, something that we can see that we have spent our money and spent it wisely. And I know that most persons are going to say, you know, I can't sit down and eat 10 nuts or 16 peanuts, whatever the serving size of nuts is. And we see it culturally. People would have a bag open. They would go to the supermarket because I realize that they're being sold in the supermarket in like the snap bags as well, like the corn kernel bags, that type of
thing.
Right. So the nuts are being sold in there and somebody's going to go and they're going to sit down and have a conversation with some friends, preferably family, because we are still trying to stay away from each other. And they're going to eat all of those. So we have to try to put measures in place, those of us who are in the area of providing advice on health, to help put measures in place so that we can guide people to only eating so much and no more. Because like you say, the body can only use so much and the rest is going to be stored as fat.
Correct.
And we wonder why we're fat.
And I think the typical Barbadian, I think you mentioned value for money. I think when we talk about value, especially in a Barbadian context, we associate good value with large portions or large amounts. Mm-hmm. And there isn't always this positive correlation with large amounts of food or large amounts of drink as it relates to value for money. And I think so. There definitely needs to be a shift or a paradigm shift as it relates to how we view value within the Barbadian population.
Much of what needs to be done in terms of persons eating healthier, we are going to have to be using the social media and putting it out there. I remember that the Government Information Service, they had done some wonderful ads on salt, where you saw some person eating some chips in a bag, and then it just showed how much salt was in these particular things that persons were consuming. So it gave you that idea that, okay, this is something that I do on a regular basis, but really and truly, maybe it's not good for me. And so the onus is on us, Brian, to keep getting it into the minds of people that our lives are dependent on what we put in our mouths.
I mean, I think what you said is very correct. And I think oftentimes, I think the idea of taste preference is one which we don't appreciate. And in terms of, as I tell people, taste preference develops in children or toddlers from the age of 2 or 3 or 4, you know, it develops very early. And taste preference is something that will follow you through your adulthood. And the typical Barbadian diet, like a typical Western diet, is one which is high sodium or high salt, high fat, high sugar. And you really see it in terms of the food choices people make. The whole idea of persons reading nutrition labels is one. I can say two things about that. One, oftentimes, even though the nutrition label may be there, in many cases it's often not there, but in the event that the nutrition label is there, many people find it difficult to decipher what these nutrition labels actually mean. So definitely there has to be a push towards presenting the nutrition information of foods in a more user-friendly way, especially at the point of purchase for the customer. So I think our society, like other societies, is one that is moving towards graphic front of package labels, which allows a person to take a look at a prepackaged food item and say, okay, well, this is high in salt, this is high in sugar, this is high in fat, and I will choose not to have this as often as I used to have it before. So, and that's the whole idea. I mean, it needs, as you mentioned, our society needs to be under an environment where the healthy choice or the healthier choice is often the easier choice to make. And what I will say in terms of Barbados today, even though things have moved forward, our society does not reflect one. No, it's not a society where the healthy choice is often the easier choice.
Yes, that is true, because I was going to ask you a little later on what would be the primary complaint when persons are being asked to change their dietary habits. What is the most common complaint you found over the years?
Today is the same as, today as in 2021, it's the same as it is as it was in the past. And I think lots of people would say it's difficult to eat healthy because of the cost of foods or the cost of fruits and vegetables, for instance. So people often point to cost. I think taste is something that people point to as well, but the issue is the cost. People also point to things like, all those vegetables, I can't prepare vegetables. Because the typical thing I think that, or the typical way we prepare vegetables or we prepare foods is how foods are prepared years by our grandparents, our great-grandparents. People still assume that. We're going to boil these carrots and beans and broccoli, and that's it. So that represents what a portion of vegetables would look like for a person. You know, there isn't often the creativity with vegetable preparation or even food preparation in general.
Yeah, one of the good things about the fact that technology has been advancing over the years is that now recipes, you don't have to go into town and buy a recipe book. You can go online and simply type into a search engine, prepare carrots. And in a matter of seconds or milliseconds, you get thousands, maybe even millions of recipes that show you a variety of ways in which you can prepare carrots, for example. And I agree with you. It's still in the mindset of persons that on Sundays, you have your staples, and on the side, just for conscience sake, you have some lettuce and tomato and sweet pepper. That's your tall salad. So you have to have a little green and then some steamed vegetables, just so you can say that you've had a balanced diet. But we really do have to reframe our thinking. And we need to get over the misconception of what a diet is, because once you put those four letters in that order, D-I-E-T, automatically persons are going to think about weight loss. What is a diet?
You're spot on. I think when people hear the term diet, people automatically say, diet, well, I'm not looking to lose weight. But I think people, they don't appreciate all the term diet basically means. It basically means a person's typical consumption or society's typical consumption. So when people hear the term diet, I don't think people should just scoff at the term. But again, when people hear the term diet, people often get sometimes, in many cases, very defensive. But the term diet basically speaks to what a person typically would consume. And in terms of the typical Barbadian diet, again, it's one which is generally higher in fat, higher in sodium, higher in added, especially higher in added sugars. You know, so that is definitely the challenge.
One of the things you've spoken about, Brian, I'm laughing because I almost shorted your name familiarly. Yes. One of the things that you had spoken about just now was the fact that we tend in Barbados to eat too much. And when we look at the persons overseas as well, let's take the United States of America, for example, and we see what a typical meal that can be purchased from a fast food restaurant for $1.99, for example, and then those two evil words, upsize. Does your guide, the one that has been put out now, does it have serving sizes? What makes up a serving size of fruits or vegetables? Is that resource included in there?
It is. So the guide would, I think one of the good things the guide shows, it actually shows how a typical plate should look. So it would give you, it would give persons an idea of how their plate should look. And looking at the guide now, we could see the main thing on one's plate would be vegetables, whether it be cooked vegetables or whether it be a salad-based vegetable option. Again, a small serving size of staple, whether it be rice or whether it be things like sweet potato. And of course, a small serving size of the protein option. And again, what I would also say as well too, again, and this is something that you see a lot in Barbados, people assume that they can only get protein from animal-based foods, whether it be things like meats, red meats, poultry, or fish. I think people need to understand that things like peas and beans and nuts and legumes, they can provide adequate amounts of protein. So I often tell people, you know, there's no real reason for a person to have, let's say, a meat option every single day. You know, some days you could have things like peas and beans as an option, you know, whether you prepare it in things like a burger-based patty, or whether you have it like in a stew, you know. So these things, I see my two colleagues here laughing, but I mean it's things like you.
go ahead, Brian. I apologize. Go ahead.
Things like peas and beans, and again, these things can be prepared in a way. And again, the protein quality is definitely good.
I was just wondering if there was anybody in the studio who could do CPR, because the look of shock on Grayston's face when Brian said that you don't have to have meat every day.
He sounds like my mother.
Like, what? No, you're speaking blasphemy. Sorry, Grayston, but it was just classic.
Yeah, that's all right. Go ahead.
So I hope you're paying close attention. So back to you now, Brian. We were talking about, lost my train of thought. Laughing at Grayston.
Diet.
Yes, we were talking about diet and protein and the non-meat protein options. Yes. And it all goes back to variety being the spice of life. There are certain religious groups and persons outside of religious groups who decided that they are not going to have any animal products. And such persons are still healthy. They're still getting adequate amounts of the vitamins and minerals. And we are going to take a break in just a minute. But one of the things that we want to speak about is supplementation. We know that the vitamin industry, for some people, is a money-making industry. Is it necessary? And that's the question that we're going to get to when we come back from our break. Are vitamins necessary? So let's take our break.
All right. You're listening to The Voice of Barbados, 92.9 FM. We're bringing you the Better Health Radio Show, of course, brought to you, I beg your pardon, presented to you by Dr. Boyce. We'll come back in just a moment.